This is the word of God. The word of the Lord. I was supposed to say that before. I didn't. You know it. I missed it. How? I have no idea. Sometimes our minds get running and we go in different directions. Places where they don't belong. As it happens. Faithful. Faithfulness. Y'all ever use that word? Most people use that word today in terms of like, yeah, he's a faithful dog. Or a faithful friend. Merriam-Webster dictionary says faithful means steadfast in affection or allegiance, loyal, firm in adherence to promises or an observation of duty. Conscientious. True, kind of a weird one. It's true to facts, a standard. Like, this is a faithful copy. Meaning it looks just like the original. Then you take a little bit of a twist on it. And faithful also means a church member. In full communion and bona fide good standing with the church. It's usually with the word the. The faithful. The faithful go to church every Sunday. I know you've heard that expression. It's even used to describe Islamics. The faithful. The Islamic faithful. They're the ones who do it all these things. And use it that way, though. The faithful. We are the faithful. It means a loyal follower. Or a member. Or a fan. Anybody here fan of some kind of sport? I know Dean is. And you call yourself a fan, you realize that that is a shortened form of a fanatic, right? And that's what fan means. It means fanatic. And I don't need, I don't think, to describe that one for you. But faithful, it's loyal, it's constant. You don't vary. It's staunch, it's steadfast, it's resolute. And you can be faithful to any number of things. What's the Marine slogan or motto? It was just Semper Fi. It's actually Semper Fidelis, which means always faithful. That should be the motto for this church. Always faithful. Semper Fi. I thought we should start every church service. Hey, Semper Fi! Wow. I mean, that word faith, it packs a lot of punch for one word when you start to unpack it. That's a word that I kind of picked up, unpack, that kind of got overly popularized and spread out, but I think it's a good word in terms of sometimes you do have to take something and unpack it. You open it up like a suitcase. You unpack it. You unpack faithful and you get a lot of punch. Especially if you take it seriously. And a lot of people do not. Some of us do. Some of us take being faithful very seriously. It all matters. I call it being old school. Not being old, but being old school. So what does it mean exactly? Faithfulness. Let us go through a number of definitions for you. And it can be used and often is a faithful friend, faithful dog, faithful to the original. Usually definitions are even more descriptions of what the word is. I want to know what the word faithful means in action, in terms of people, what the word means exactly for many people, maybe even most people today. In larger context, it means little to nothing. They don't care. And there are so many people who don't even know what the word faithful means. Not in reality. They might say something that comes up with some kind of a definition. But they really don't know what it means, either inside the church or outside in the secular world. We, however, We in this world, we are not people. Sure, we live, we eat, we breathe, we sleep, and we are classified as Homo sapiens. We are animals. We are, but we are different from the majority of the people in this world because we are Christians. That makes us not people. We're like Homo sapiens Christianus or something. You know, it adds another layer of identification to us. We're different because we live out there on this planet with those other people who are just people. Sheeple. They are sheeple. Follow whatever. We live in that world, but the world is not our home. An old gospel song that goes that the world is not my home. Heaven is my home. And actually, just as I was writing that line, I had music on playing last night. I was listening to George Beverly Shea. Remember George Beverly Shea? If you do, you are old. And he sings a song. He was singing. And as I wrote, the world is not our home, he sang, the world is not my home. We're just passing through. It was kind of, well, I think, and the world is not our home. We're just passing through. But while we're here, we have a job to do. We have work to do in this world, even though we're not part of it. And you know what that job is? Should. It's gospelizing. Gospelizing. It's where I made up, I think. I don't think anybody, I've never seen it anywhere. But gospelizing is transmitting the gospel every way possible. Part of it is, depending on your spiritual gifts and who you are as a person, evangelism. Everybody is an evangelist. But not everybody goes and can stand up in front of a crowd of 6,000 people and preach the word by doing anything. But everybody can do this. And sometimes, I can do this for 20 years and get zilch. She does it in 30 minutes, she's got you. Gospelizing, thank you. Gospelizing. Part of it, though, is the direct, upfront, in-your-face evangelism. There are people who are evangelists. And that's not most of us. Most of us are not evangelists. But we all come across the opportunity to evangelize, like I said, face to face, one on one. And when those opportunities come up, you need to exploit them. Regardless of who you are and who you're talking to. Well, they just examples here. You might be the only person able to reach them. You might be designated by God as an angel, a messenger, that's what the word means, to that person. Think about that. Someday, you may be the one to reach somebody. Back to gospelizing. I think the most important aspect of the concept of gospelizing revolves around three things. Usually always three things. You know, the whole three-legged stool kind of a concept to build something on. Well, gospelizing, it's lifestyle, consistency, and integrity. People who know the Bible and take it for what it is and accept it and understand it and don't read into it what they want. Sidebar. Not rabbit trail. Sidebar. When you go to prepare a sermon, you read scripture and then you find out what it says to you. What God is speaking to you. And then you turn it into a thought. That is called exegesis. That's when you take the old languages and you pull the words apart and things like that. And you go, wait, that's how come you hear me talk about the Greek and Hebrew? And that's what I do. Granted, I will take passages like today, we're talking about faithfulness, and about faithful. But I taught the word faithful up and down and sideways in both Hebrew and Greek. Find out what it is. Exegesis, on the other hand, you have an idea that you really like. Well, that verse kind of fits. Oh, that verse kind of fits. And you pick little bits and pieces out of this book that you like and that fits your idea. That is called eisegesis, when you read into the book your own thoughts and what you want. You can't do that. And when you do that, you're not faithful to anything. But when you do, back to gospel, when you do take the Bible for what it is, and when you don't read into it, but you read out of it, and live the way the Bible tells us to live, consistently, with integrity, that is faithful. Because of fidelity to God. You've heard me say probably a couple times now, the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. If Dot's main thing is money, and she keeps that main thing the main thing in her life, well, is she being faithful? No, she's not doing it. If Bubbles over here wants to be a cooking maven and get a show on Netflix, and that's her main thing is cooking, that faithfulness? No. It might be faithfulness to what you want, same with Dot, but it's not being faithful to God. Living with fidelity to God is extremely difficult for most people. Because you run into conflicts all the time. You run into the conflicts with culture. Christianity has been countercultural since its inception. It has been countercultural in every culture that ever was. Even in the Middle Ages in Europe, when the church ran everything, the people were being persecuted by the church. It didn't work right. People, friends and family, all of a sudden you get at odds at it. And nobody likes conflict. Well, too wacky. You all know people who might want to start an argument just for the fact of starting an argument. But when you live faithfully to Christ, that's what happens. You get into arguments. You get into trouble. Well, look at politics, for example. I'm not preaching politics here. It's just an example of life. You look at politics, and you look at it through a Christian lens, some things that you look at first glance are okay. This past week, England just legalized terminal euthanasia for people who are dying from cancer or whatever. You can read that as assisted suicide. It's run by the government. So it's government killing their own people. And right now it's elderly or sick or whatever. But how soon will that change? The government is killing its own people. Mm-hmm. I can both sides argue. I just sound like Yoda. I can argue both sides of that. And someday, I might want for somebody to shoot me up. But it's wrong. I can make the argument on both sides, but it's wrong. And not only that, but where does it lead? It opens the door. Again, in Britain, you can have an abortion up to 9.5 months. Where does it go? It's an extreme example because it's extreme. But how does a Christian stand up with that, live with that? Interestingly, the Roman Church said, this is not a good idea. The Anglican Church formed a committee. The State Church of England is going to form a committee to look at it. The Free Church of Scotland and the Presbyterian Church of Scotland both ignored it, as did most everybody else. But living faithfully is hard. Living with integrity. Integrity for me is always doing the right thing, even when no one is looking. Even if no one ever knows about it. And sometimes, most of the time, it's hard to do. And if you think about it, you've probably read a lot of books and see a lot of movies that are on that kind of a the whole process of what the book or movie is about. People who try to do the right thing. Anybody ever watch Jack Reacher? Or read the Jack Reacher book? Jack Reacher is a former Army MP who goes around the country like a hobo. But everywhere he goes, he finds trouble. And he fixes bad situations. But he doesn't do it very nice. Lots of people to kill. Lots of things to destroy. And the result is, good things happen in bad ways. And you read all the books? Andrew's read all the books. I've seen most. I've read most of them. Only because we don't have them all. I haven't read them all. And we both agree that we like this guy, Jack Reacher. And we shouldn't. Because like the old Superman, he stands for truth, justice, and the American way kind of a thing. But we shouldn't like this guy, don't we? I mean, how do you do that as a Christian? I mean, not fine. It's fine to like a character in a book as long as you know it's just a character in a book and it's a story. Don't live it. But here and now, Jack Reacher does his stuff because it's important to him. It fits his value system. He's not going around as a Christian. He's going out as an ex-MP who wants to fix things, make things correct. It's the I don't care because I care. I mean, I said this to you before. Philosophy. That's my philosophy. I don't care what I do. If it's the right thing to do. Because I do care about the end result. I try to be faithful to God. And when you live that way, when you're being faithful and you do what's right, you've heard this so many times before, you look at it, I know. When you do what's right, you catch it all. Been in trouble since day one because that's what I do. That's what I do. Stand up and live that way, which is how we're supposed to live. What did Jesus tell his disciples? You're going to have problems. People are going to come out. They're going to persecute you. They're going to put you in jail. They're going to beat you. They're going to kill you. They kept preaching anyway because that's what they were supposed to do. When you become a Christian, you receive salvation free by grace through faith and Scripture alone, free, unearned, or undeserved. But it catches. And people don't get this. The catch is, when you become a Christian, you are changed. You are changed. You're a different person, and you want to be faithful. You want to follow the way. You want to follow Jesus, and it's hard. And again, Jesus talked about the narrow road and the wide road. The narrow road goes to the narrow gate. It's hard to get through because you get tempted off the side. The broad road, which is easy to follow. Lots of fun and pleasures and all kinds of good stuff on that broad road is the way to hell. The problem is that even though when you become a Christian, you're changed, we still live in this world. Though we are no longer of the world. And that causes angst for many people. And they worry. And they start caring about the wrong things. They start worrying about, well, if I do this, what's going to happen to me? If I continue to wear my cross at work, when they tell me I can't do it and they fire me, am I going to accept that? Well, no, you let them fire you and then you sue them. But that's a consequence. You have to decide whether to be faithful. And if part of your faithfulness is that you wear a cross at work, then you have to accept the fact you get fired. It's hard. Because when you don't keep your consistency going with who you are, you lose your integrity and your fidelity eventually in heaven. You wind up cheating on a test or stealing, having an affair, abusing somebody, addictions. All these things are actually unfaithfulness. And seemingly it's to the world order. You're messing up the secular system when you steal something, you have an affair, you get hooked on drugs or alcohol. But they're actually all unfaithfulness to God. All the unfaithfulness in the world leads to lawlessness and discord, hate, and greed. And it's all because of a lack of unfaithfulness. And it starts here, in the church. Because we say one thing, and we don't necessarily do it. We talk the talk, but not everybody walks the walk. At least consistently. With integrity and fidelity. So what is faithfulness exactly? Christian faithfulness. It's a means of living your life as God intends. It's broadly outlined in the Bible, and it can fit multiple cultures. The Ten Commandments are the foundation of our faith, of how we live. Those are the foundation for our life, and we follow the commandments as our source and the wisdom we need to navigate in the world. The Ten Commandments are broken up to six and four. Four of them deal with man's relationship to God. The other six, how we deal with each other. That's important. And Jesus said, the last two. We need to live in constant prayer and fellowship with believers. We need to get together more than an hour a week on Sunday morning. And I don't know if some of you do. We need to support each other and be supported, both physically in presence and through prayer and just mental support. We have to make every decision with integrity. We have to look at what we're doing. Because you care. When making decisions, you've got to learn. If you don't know how, you have to learn to accept consequences of living that way. In the end, if nothing else that I've ever said, ever, in the end, listen, remember this, your life is like a one-person play being run for an audience in one. And you need to live that way. So at the end, you're standing away. Let us pray. Almighty everlasting God, we thank you for your word, your guidance. Be with us as we continue in our lives. And give us the blessings that you always bestow. This we ask in Christ's name.